never rests.
Getting careless in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
Yo, what's up? Sunday night. Welcome to the Georgia Show here on the Dogs HQ YouTube channel. I'm Jake Roos. He's Jake Rowe. And we appreciate you tuning in to this show, which is presented by American Pride Bank. Look, are you looking for a way to switch things up? You're looking for a new place to do your banking, not satisfied with how things are going currently at your bank? American Pride Bank, worth checking out and worth working with. You are dealing with the decision maker at every step of the way when it comes to American Pride Bank. So whether you're looking for personalized banking solutions, whether you're looking for loans for a small business, personal, whatever, get with American Pride Bank. They're going to help you through the process. They're going to make it easier for you, and they are going to be in your neighborhood. Whether you're in Athens, Alpharetta, or online, AmericanPride.bank, you can check them out and their full line of products there. Get with them. See how they can help you out today. They are member FDIC and an equal opportunity lender. Jake Rowe. Georgia Show is back, and those Georgia recruiting, man. Once again, we got plenty to talk about because it's time to break out the spatula. I wish you had one handy. Did you think to get it prop? That's a missed opportunity on our part. Georgia pulls off a big flip on Sunday, and it is a linebacker this time that they had pursued for some time. I'm kind of just waiting on you to put up the next banner here. I was kind of like waiting for you to lead me in there. Shedarius Tootle is the young man's name, out of Mobile, Alabama, four-star prospect, a big, long guy. This is a big guy at the linebacker position, which is something, Jake, that I think you said on the board today, kind of a mixed bag is in terms of seeing that anymore. Not all these guys are quite as big as they used to be, but he is kind of that classic frame. Kind of you've made the Quay Walker comparison. Was committed to Auburn for over a year, or right at about a year, I believe. I believe August of 24 or something like that. So 10, 11 months. Visited Georgia officially earlier in June. Came off of that visit thinking a lot about the Dogs and about their ability to get him to the next level. Really liked seemingly what Glenn Schumann had to offer, as well as Kirby Smart. But instead, he goes back to Auburn and says, oh, they've recaptured the momentum of my commitment. And then on Sunday, he flips. And they've been waiting on this one for a long, long time. This is an interesting get, Jake. It's going to have some people scratching their heads saying, what does this make of this linebacker class for Georgia? But by its own merits, this is a guy that there's a lot to like about.
Well, first of all, I would discourage anybody from thinking and reading into this as anything it means for the linebacker class. I mean, Georgia has, you know, if it was Nick Abrams, if it was Shedarius Tootle, I mean, I still think Georgia would probably take Nick Abrams and Tyler Atkinson if they could get both of them. But Tootle was a guy that they wanted all the way going back to his official visit. You know, if you remember correctly, Steve Wiltfong put in a pick for Georgia to land Tootle at that time. There was a lot of momentum there. And then ultimately, Georgia was able to turn the worm. They were able to kind of get it back in their favor. And Georgia's going to do that at this position. It's going to do that a lot. There was a time in last cycle, Jake, that South Carolina had the momentum and had probably led for Zaden Walker. They had put a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of time into his recruitment. And then, Georgia was able to kind of be like, hey, you can go give it a shot there, or you can do the Georgia thing, and it's almost a sure thing as far as linebackers go. I mean, look at all of the guys that have gotten drafted, you know, out of that position. It's unbelievable. And even the guys that didn't get drafted, like a Natres Patrick, found a way to hang on in the NFL for 4 or 5 years. There's no better example than Tay Crowder, linebacker turned Mr. Irrelevant, you know, eventually, because he was developed so well at Georgia. So they do a tremendous job at linebacker. They always have. And they've kind of, you know, really dating all the way back to kind of the early part of the century. Georgia's had an incredible, like 20, 25 year run at inside and outside linebacker. And, you know, they flipped this one. I mean, in every sense of the word, they flipped his commitment. They flipped the momentum. They got everything going in that direction, and they wanted Shedarius Tootle no matter what. They wanted this type of Mike linebacker, a big, long, 6'3", 220-pound guy, because not only does this guy let you function that way, but when you want to slide down, you want to shift the line, you want to do some of this stuff, he can walk down and play on the end of the line of scrimmage and strike a tight end and extend out on him and hold his own and play the edge. And that's what Georgia expects of its outside line. I'm sorry, of his inside linebackers. And, again, this guy really does. If you watched that film a minute ago and didn't see some Quay Walker mannerisms and see kind of that big body that's comfortable in space, I don't know what to tell you, because to me it reminds me so much of that Crisp County film that you watched of Quay Walker back in the day.
I'm curious, and this is totally off the subject of Shedarius Tootle, but it does make me think, because you are somebody who I know has a deep, deep knowledge of this team and historic deep knowledge. I'm curious, you said this quarter century run at linebacker. Who's the guy you would point to as kind of having launched that for Georgia?
Oh, having launched it. I don't know, man. That's a good question. I don't necessarily feel like there was ever a launching point for it. I just think that they kind of got it rolling. And it just, you know, because you go back to early on, it, you know, right there at the turn, it was Boss Bailey and Tony Gilbert. There was that, you know, I think if you talk to Will Coach Donnan, yeah, Will Witherspoon, those guys, I think if you talk to the great Coach Donnan, he would talk about that class that he signed, the class with Will Witherspoon and Kavika Mitchell and, you know, all of those guys. But it was just, they just kept stacking them up, you know, kind of year after year, and the guys would develop. And there's been some that put up gaudy numbers that weren't drafted as high, like Ramik Wilson. You know, I think 140 something tackles and, you know, like 13 tackles for a loss. But obviously it hit a different gear when Glenn Schumann came in, because Georgia had all of these inside and outside backers drafted, you know, a lot of first round guys, some guys going to challenge for the NFL Hall of Fame, you know, when it's like Justin Houston
and Roquan,
people like that. Yeah. But it really kicked into a different gear when Glenn Schumann came along, because Schumann comes along, you got three Butkus Award winners, the first three in school history. As far as a launch goes, though, oh man, there were just so many of them. Quite frankly, there were guys that didn't play it that ended up being, I mean, Thomas Davis didn't even play linebacker at Georgia. And was a great linebacker in the NFL. So there's that too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't know. Like I said, that just popped into my mind, because I know that you are as well versed in that stuff as anybody I know. Shedarius Tootle, though, Jake, a guy that Georgia really, really liked and pursued very heavily despite that commitment to Auburn. I don't think that we can talk about this flip without discussing the other side of this, which is the Auburn side of this, which is the 46th ranked class in the country right now after the loss of Shedarius Tootle, bested by the likes of Purdue, Vanderbilt, Boston College at the moment. Wild times on the plane. I'm not here to bury these guys or put more salt in the wound, but it's got to be concerning. And from the Georgia perspective, I assume there are a lot of people who do not have their feelings hurt by this outcome.
No, not at all. I mean, and let me say this. I know the Auburn guys that cover the team really well, and I like all those guys, you know, Jeffrey Lee and you know, even across other sites, you know, the dudes over at 24/7 and all that. I mean, good dudes, love them to death. There's always been a lot of back and forth with Georgia and Auburn. You know, Pat Dye went to Georgia and then goes, you know, becomes a legendary coach at Auburn, and Vince Dooley's an Auburn grad and then becomes a legendary coach at Georgia. I honestly, it's just so brain breaking to think about, you know, how that happens. You know, listen, Kirby Smart, and I have this on very good authority, was at a high school, had told a high school coach, I'm going to be the next head. When they hired Gus, I'm going to be the next head coach at Auburn. Can I borrow a room for a minute? I need to start making some phone calls and putting some staff together. And then like an hour, he comes out of that room white as a sheep, and they had hired Gus. And they kind of, you know, they didn't get it. Like that's how that story went. So, brother, when I tell you that Georgia fans love to flip a dude from Auburn, That's what we're talking about here. I mean, they definitely love it. And me personally, you know, I'm a Georgia grad, and I always have a little bit of love for Georgia in my heart. But, you know, Auburn, we had a couple of D1 prospects in Atkinson County kind of growing up, and Auburn took the first two of them, Sean Shaw and Jeffrey Dunlap. And then South Carolina took the third one, never really sent a guy to Georgia. So, you know, I grew up probably disliking Auburn more than I disliked Florida, which was kind of tough for a South Georgia kid, but that's kind of how I was. And, you know, to anytime you get a chance to beat Auburn at anything, it's kind of like, you know, I believe it was Dan McGill said that anytime you can beat Tech at anything, even tiddlywinks, it's a good day. And anytime you can beat Auburn for anything, that's big. And then Auburn, they suck right now, man. They suck all the way around. Two losing seasons in a row and can't recruit. Everybody's scared to death of them because of money, Pat Dye's cabin, all this stuff, and they cannot get it going. And I just wonder, you see all this desperation out there? When's Auburn going to get desperate? Like, when are they going to start doing what USC's doing and what we've seen Florida State doing, what we've seen Miami do? When are they going to start doing that?
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I was trying to find this. I was trying to find this post somebody had, and it was an Auburn guy breaking down like all of the things that had gone wrong for them of late.
I like trucks.
And like you said, man, like it really is one of those things that. Oh, here it is. This is a post from one of their boards. The username was Kurt Loader, which I also thought was really funny. Just imagining this in Kurt Loader's voice. It says it can all this. He's replying to a guy who says it can always get worse. And this guy says, my brother in Christ, we have won two bowl games since 2013, and they were the Birmingham Bowl and Music City Bowl. We have yet to win more than six games this decade. We are on a four-season losing record streak. We finished 14th in the league last season. It cannot substantively get worse. That's almost hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing Auburn's got going for them right now is basketball, and like we talked about earlier, they're the CEO of Apple graduated from Auburn. Tim Cook's an Auburn guy. I mean, it's ugly, man. And I I told you this. You know, we do a radio show right before we come on. Anytime you see me and Roos on here on Sunday nights, we've probably just carried it straight in from a radio show we do with Bill Shanks over at the Superstations, and we were talking about it, and this is going to fail. I mean, this
I laughed the first time and I'm laughing again because you're so matter of fact when you say it.
And I'm going to tell you why. I mean, and I would use the same explanation I said earlier. Like when Hugh Freeze was hired, anybody that was worried about it, and I wouldn't say it was a small amount. Anybody that was worried about it was like, hey, what Auburn did before, you know, what Hugh Freeze and what Auburn did before, that's legal now. So they're going to reap. You know, like there, people, we're just now getting to a point where people aren't scared of players taking visits to Auburn. I can't remember. Was it Justice Terry? I want to say in last class that everybody's like, oh man, he's going to visit Auburn. It's over. It's you know, that they're going to get him. Well, I mean, Texas, Auburn and Georgia and everybody else. But listen, if they're not going to recruit, if they're not going to make a splash here, if they're not going to buy players and use all of that, you know, be all kind of willy-nilly with the money and go kind of what they were on brand behind the scenes and under the table back in the day, they've got no shot. They've got no shot. So, I mean, if that's not going to happen, it's clear Hugh Freeze is not quite the coach he was in terms of scheming it up and doing all that stuff. I mean, the whole Peyton Thorne thing, this is failing, and it's going to continue to do so.
Well, normally I would apologize for the length of time which we've spoken about another team. I just got a feeling everybody's going to eat that one up.
I hope people are
going to be just fine with us talking about Auburn right now as it stands. But like I said, huge get for Georgia here, a guy they really wanted in this class. And like you said, I don't know that it necessarily says anything about the room. I don't think that they will get Atkinson and Abrams to go with Tootle. But regardless, they wanted Tootle. And so this is just the start, is one way to view that. I don't necessarily think it's a white flag for either one of those guys moving forward. So good get for Glenn Schumann. And like you said, man, they've had some success with this over the couple of years here recently. Seth Auld says, can't wish enough losing seasons on Auburn. Seth is feeling it. Also, you were feeling it this weekend, Jake Rowe. You went out, a man about town, Jake Rowe, out at Athfest, hanging out with our friends at Sunheist. Tell us a little bit about that.
Man, I went out, first of all, it was hot. I was, the only reason I left, I had so much fun hanging out with Shane and Mary, and I really mean that. Like, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, I was not super enthused about having to wade through downtown during Athfest because it's so busy. And hang out with them. And I didn't have to. They didn't ask me to. I offered to. And I was regretting that decision prior to. But then I got out there. Man, we had a blast. We had such a good time. Shane and Mary are so fun. And we had lots of folks, you know, over the course of the 3 days, they told me lots of folks came out there and mentioned Dogs HQ, were able to try on their sunglasses and get them out there. But, man, looking at their inventory in person, they had all of it out there. Looking at their inventory in person, man, it really is incredible. And some of the technology, Shane was kind of showing me some of the technology. You got the anti-fog technology, which is incredible. We don't even have that as a selling point, but maybe we should, because he was literally trying to get some of those sunglasses to fog up and he couldn't. But listen, Dogs HQ 20 gets you 20% off premium eyewear at sunheist.com. And there are different retailers out there. They've got some couple shops of commerce. They're at a Redstone Market over off of Highway 129. They're going to be in Asheville at the end of next month at a specific festival. And we're going to tell you more about that once you get there. But it's a widespread panic deal, if I'm not mistaken. So, listen, that's going to be a lot of fun, too. But, man, Sunheist is world-class people, world-class eyewear, for an affordable price, and it's even more affordable when you go to them through Dogs HQ. So keep doing that. Keep supporting local. Keep supporting Georgia businesses, and check out our friends over at Sunheist, because the more I spend time with them, the more I hope we can just kind of hang out and do business forever, because they're
there. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm gonna have to be careful letting you do ad reads. That was a pretty good one. Jake, it's a big week ahead for the Georgia Bulldogs. In terms of decisions, the visits are behind us, and so it's all over but the crying. A lot of decisions on tap, and the question becomes, is Georgia going to catch fire when it comes to the course of this next week? We've got Kamari Brooks deciding on Monday, Georgia and Alabama, the finalists there. You got Corey Howard deciding on Tuesday, Florida and Georgia there. Wednesday, Jay Lamar set to decide, make his decision. Also, Craig Dandridge, he's got six schools on the table. And then Friday, you got Chase Calicutt, and as well as Malachi Lee, probably Georgia's top remaining offensive line target. So a big, big week of decisions there for Georgia. Six big decisions. Class-defining week, in my opinion. You will feel a lot better about this class if Georgia were to go, I'd say even 4 out of 6 there, you would feel very good about that.
Yeah, it's going to be disappointing. It's going to be kind of disappointing if they don't go at least 4 out of 6.
I would say so. Absolutely. Yeah. I think so as well. But this is a big week, especially at two key positions in my brain, Jake. And we talked about this on the radio too, but I want to bring it up again. Two key positions you're going to find out about this week, and that's edge and running back. And that, to me, are two big unknowns in this class, because Georgia has really taken the approach in this one. They kind of put all the chips in on Kamari Brooks, man. It feels like he's the dude at edge that they have been on the most. And we can call it what it is. Kamari Brooks lives, 15 minutes from campus. So he's been there a million times. There's probably been 4 dozen visits we haven't been able to report on, because he just pops through, right? And he can anytime.
Right.
But the other one, Jay Lamar, set to decide. And that feels like a very crucial one to me, Jake, because, again, I wouldn't say that they've pushed all their chips in on Lamar, but it does feel like he is, perhaps as it stands today, Georgia's best shot when it comes to the running back position in this class. Savion Hyder feels like trending elsewhere. Derek Cooper, we can call it what it is. Miami is going to go hard at Derek Cooper. They're going hard at Jay Lamar, too. I don't know that the Hurricanes will land both And so I think Georgia probably ends up with one or the other. But this a big one for two key positions in the 2026 class.
Yeah, you know, and running back is it's tough to know. You made a really good point. You know, it did seem like they kind of focused in on three guys, and that was basically – really not focusing on just three guys. I mean, Xavier Crowell was out there too. So, I mean, you know, he was a part of it. They brought him in for an official visit and showed him a great time as well. I mean, it's – he kind of felt about as likely as Hyder did ultimately by the time you got there. Hyder was much more of an issue or much more of a possibility early on, and then the money started flying around and you started kind of realizing that was probably going to get away. I still think there are some things about the Cooper situation that are in Georgia's favor, one of them being Cooper himself. We saw how the commitment went down the first time and
what
happened there. I think if it was totally left up to Derek Cooper, and I don't really like doing this because it makes it seem like I'm preemptively sour graping this thing. I think if this was all the way up to Derek Cooper would be at Georgia, would be committed to Georgia, probably still now. But I do really like where Georgia sits for Trey Lamar coming out of this visit. I've been vocal about the fact that I do like Derek Cooper more than I like Trey Lamar. I love Trey Lamar, his vision, his quickness. I love all that, but I don't see him break a lot of tackles and run with much power. And I feel like you've got to do that in the SEC. But at the same time, I don't think you're going to go wrong with either one of these backs. And I'm really interested to see or to hear what transpires over the next like 24 to 48 hours, because coming out of this visit, the vibe is that Georgia's got momentum. Can they keep it?
Yeah, no. Seizing on it would be huge. I think we both probably feel pretty good about the Tuesday decision of Corey Howard. I think that would be, look, the way it stands today, all right, you got Seven Cloud, you got Carter Lucky on the commit list. Georgia in a good place for Valdensone coming off of this visit, according to our Rusty Mansell over at Dogs HQ. You can read more about that over there, and I encourage you to do so.
Got some details.
Anthony Lonnen out of Clark Central High School, a guy that is a very interesting prospect in this class, but a guy that is really kind of gaining some momentum behind his name as well. And then if you take a guy like Corey Howard, 6'6", 270 pounds, go turn the tape on. Trey Scott got a good shot at a really good class.
I don't think by any stretch of the imagination Georgia is out or in a bad spot.
James Johnson
either.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I mean, I know that, like, there's a lot of and I'm not trying to make fun of anybody when I say this, but there's a lot of, like, oh, well, if Miami wants him, you know,
right.
everybody understands Miami will you know, walk in front of them, like, all with the crazy eyes and chop a finger off. Like, see, this is how much I love you. You know, like, you know, they're a crazy boyfriend right now. They do some stupid stuff, some grand gestures. So, you know, they might do that. I don't know. But I think right now, again, I think he's similar to Derek Cooper in the way that totally up to James Johnson. I think he'll end up at Georgia. And I certainly think Georgia's still very much fighting there.
I sounds like you've been in some really weird relationships.
Yeah.
Take away from that whole experience.
I watched a lot of
No. No, I would agree with you. James Johnson, not a foregone conclusion in my mind. What I'm saying is, though, if you were able to put that five together, I would feel very, very good about that. I think that would be a really nice gathering of talent. And I think that the Howard kid, like I said, if you don't know him, go watch the tape, man.
Yeah,
he's big.
I had a smaller school defensive coordinator hit me up the day he got offered by Georgia. And he said his thing was, and this guy has been at Georgia before, he's been at other big schools. And he told me, he said, we thought we could hide this freak and we couldn't. So enjoy watching him for a few years. Georgia just offered and he's going to get a lot more. And there he did. He got a lot more offers and Georgia kind of pushed for it. He's going to be one of these guys that when you start thinking about Georgia's ranking, class ranking in the end, it's the guy like Corey Howard that ends up top 150 or, you know, top 175 by the end of it, that kind of elevates this class. And I think he's going to ultimately be a four-star prospect that kind of shows out.
And they've got some really interesting guys too out there, Jake, when it comes to defensive line, in my mind, guys that they offered that, you know, came out of this camp circuit, guys who haven't played football before. There's the kid, Success is his first name, over at Athens Christian. Yeah. You've got
Having a hard time seeing them get to those guys. You know, by the time they get who's
I do too. I do too. To me, though, a defensive line is one of these positions where if you feel like that guy can do it for you, go, because you take all you can. Stack the bodies, man. I don't see any downside to doing that personally, because it's hard. It's a hard position to get, and it's a hard position to get right. And there are guys like that. Now, I'm not saying they will get there, but it wouldn't shock me if one of these last minute pop-up names kind of weaseled onto the list there, maybe toward the end, especially.
That's certainly what I would do if it ever came to a situation where there were like 105 scholarships.
And, yes.
And, you know, if you got there, I would certainly take four or five extra D linemen every cycle. I would look for the Jod Jackson versions.
Yes.
And listen, not Jod Jarrett, Jod Jackson.
That's what they're doing essentially.
Primarily right now. Played basketball and other sports. They have a frame. They're new to football, that type of thing. I would go after those guys and kind of get as many of those as I possibly could. But piggybacking off what you were talking about, so you've got Monday, you got Kamari Brooks, you got Tuesday, Corey Howard. You got Wednesday, Craig Dandridge and Jay Lamar.
Yeah.
And then Friday, we get a break on Thursday. Thank goodness. I'll be flying back from Minnesota with my wife that day. Thank goodness. So we'll actually, maybe you and Rusty can get on the show that morning on here and talk about what's happened already during the week. But then Friday, Malachi Lee, and then Saturday, Chase Calicut. So ultimately, just so much opportunity there. And then I think, when is James Johnson deciding?
The 28th, maybe, like Saturday, is that right?
Yeah. So you got James Johnson there too. That's another big one.
Cool, big normal week.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Massive, absolutely. And like you said, you got Valdine Sohn. Kendall Gervell is going to make a decision at some point too. I will say this though, something that captured. Actually, you know what? Let's hold that thought for a second.
Okay.
We've got one more quick segment after this, but let's talk about one of our buddies before we get to that.
Yeah, Andy Ludicky and the team over at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Look, if you're looking to expand your business portfolio or really just make a change in your professional life, get over to MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy and his team work to set you up with a franchise that matches your goals and your vision. So whether it's fast food, whether it's something completely different. Don't think of franchises just as opening a Crystal down the street, man. There are a lot of businesses that have franchise opportunities, and their goal is to set you up with those franchises. The best part about all of this is that their services come free to you, because the franchise, the people who are seeking to open franchises or set you up in a franchise, pay him. So he's just the middleman who connects you with the opportunities with a thorough consultation evaluation process and says, here's what you have, here's what you want to do, let's get you there, and this is what meets your goal. That's what makes MyPerfectFranchise.net a great resource. We encourage you to go over and check out Andy Ludicky and his team at MyPerfectFranchise.net.
So kicking off this segment, I wanted to say this about Tyler Atkinson, okay? There was a lot of hand-wringing over the weekend and really Friday earlier in the week when Tyler Atkinson announced that he was going to take an official visit to Texas instead of Ohio State. The immediate assumption there was, okay, Texas has dropped a bag. They've outbid everybody for him. It's over. Maybe so. Like, I'm not trying to say that that's not the case. But if we unpack this for a second, let's think about it. Tyler Atkinson, for the 15th time, visited Georgia the previous week.
Right.
Rather than visiting Texas, which I'm sure he could have, or pushing up and visiting Ohio State, which everybody says would have outbid Georgia for Tyler Atkinson, he came to Georgia, came right down the road, all right, did his thing. Now, Ohio State seems to be kind of ticked off, and I'm sure they'll get over it in due time and probably end up back in this thing with him at some point if he wants to visit during the fall. They got a little ticked off at him wanting to go to Texas this week. Now what I think happened here, and this is just kind of reading the tea leaves. I think what might've happened here is Texas might've been like, hey, good little chunk of money just to come visit Texas. If you want to come, I'm not saying Texas is out of it. He's got a connection there. It's a great school. It's a great place to be. It's very, very appealing. But wouldn't it have made sense if this guy was just done with Georgia. Georgia's out. Georgia's been outbid by two programs. This, you know, the Georgia fans are telling us already that Ohio State's got more money, and so does Texas. That it just the Georgia would be the odd team out. Georgia would be the team that he kicked the can down the road on. He didn't do that. So I think folks need to kind of calm down and understand that, like, listen, there's a process here. It's hard to bet against Georgia when you're recruiting these types of guys. Let's let it play out. I'm not saying it won't get away from you, but don't necessarily wave the white flag just yet. And that leads us into kind of where this class will be ranked. And I think Tyler Atkinson is a big part of that. I mean, if Georgia doesn't get Tyler Atkinson, it's not going to finish number one. It has no shot. They need to get Tyler Atkinson and Caden Prothrow, and for the rankings with Valdine Sohn and some other guys to kind of move in their direction if they're gonna have the number one class, or if they're gonna land 3, 4, 5 4-star prospects and 10 or 12 in the top 100. That's just the way. That's the path forward.
No, absolutely, of course, yeah. I think that Georgia. My guess ultimately is Georgia ends up with a top three class. I don't think that they end up with a number one class this cycle. And I don't think that I think that it's possible. And you saw that last year with that move that they made late come ahead of Alabama and take over the number two spot after the re-ranks. And that's what this is going to come down to. And you mentioned this earlier on the show as well, but it is the case that Georgia, in most respects, over the last couple of years has done a very fine job with its early evals and bringing guys into its commitment list who have gotten better over the course of time. And if that happens again, that continues to be the trend, then they have a real shot, it feels, of challenging for that 2-3 slot. You know, and I think that they could get there probably quite easily if they hit on the guys we expect them to hit on, and then the re-ranks come in the way that we think that they will. I think that we think that Georgia will likely land Kamari Brooks. Kamari Brooks has a shot of being a top, 150 at worst player, I think, ultimately in the end when this is all said and done. Craig Dandridge is another guy that they'd love to land and are very firmly in it for. Craig Dandridge has a chance to be a top 10 receiver in this class. So you have all of those pieces in play, and I think that that's really got to be the consideration here moving forward. Where does Georgia's class rank? I don't think we know the answer to that necessarily, but I do think they're going to challenge in the top three, and it really will, in my mind, it'll come down to Atkinson and Prothrow. Those would be two big ones. James Johnson would go a long way for sure, but the re-ranks will tell the tale of this one.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think ultimately Georgia's going to have a ton of guys inside the top 150. You know, I think that's the way it's going to play out. But I agree. I would certainly, I mean, and this just goes without saying, it's easier to have a top three class than it is to have the number one class. It's either have a top five class than it is a top three class. I would bet everything I got this is going to be a top five class. And I think it's got a very good shot to be a top three class. Outside shot at number one, and it's the path is very clear to get there. Yeah. And another thing I'll say, and we've talked about this, if you're recruiting the right guys and the competitors and the ones that are going to get better, you're going to move up in the rankings with senior seasons, because these guys are going to have better senior seasons than junior seasons. And Georgia's done a really good job of that of late, you know, at getting the guys who surge as seniors and end up ranked higher than they did going into their senior season. So I really very much expect Georgia to get there with this class.
Absolutely. Look, if in case you couldn't tell by what we just said, it's going to be a stupid, stupid week of recruiting over at Dogs HQ.
And I wouldn't wait for our next show. I wouldn't wait for Thursday.
No, do not.
The channel. I don't know for a fact that anybody's going to commit to Georgia, but I do expect Georgia to get at least 3 or 4 commitments this week. So we're going to be doing some shows after those. So tune into the channel. Make sure you catch up on who Georgia is getting and what we think about it.
Look, you can hit that subscribe button and it'll notify you when we go live. And that's an opportunity to get in, see all this stuff happening as it happens. Yeah, more good news than bad news on the way. I think both of us expect that for Georgia this week. Guys, get over to Dogs HQ. We got you covered on the latest on all of this stuff. We got Rusty's Ramblings up from today. There was a big official visit weekend this past weekend, a big week ahead this week. Insider Notes will be coming. We'll have full coverage of all of these recruitments and all of these commitments as they come in, regardless of whether it's Georgia or not. And we'll tell you what they mean, even if it's not the Bulldogs. So get over to Dogs HQ. Come hang out with us. Come chat with us. And come be a part of our community over there. Until next time, and it may not be too long, we'll see you soon.